It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and Michelle.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast where two adult daughters wish they could travel back in time to peak Epcot 1995.
I'm Jasmine.
And I'm Michelle.
And I would love, I think I was in Epcot actually 1995, actually.
Oh, so now you're bragging about it.
Yeah, I bragged because I was 9 years old. I don't remember it, and I didn't go on any of the rides we're going to talk about today, or at least I can't remember. The only thing I remember from my trip in 1995 was going to the World Showcase, and I had, like, a little stamp book.
The passport.
Yeah, and I had, like, and I just remember being like, that guy's really British, and, like, that was just very fascinating to me that everyone was, like, from their actual countries.
That guy is not just regular British. He's very British.
And I was disappointed because I wanted to see the Barbie show, but I think it was already over at that point.
The Barbie show.
Because I had that 1 cent video that you could, we're going to talk about it one day.
Oh, man.
I'm going to aim for a main episode, but it'll probably be a bonus episode of that. Yeah, the one, when you buy the certain Barbies, you got the 1 penny video.
The 1 penny?
Yeah, it was for 1 penny. You could get the video. If you bought certain Barbies, that video was 1 penny.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I love Barbie.
I love Barbie. Friends of Barbie.
Do-do-do. Do-do-do. Do-do-do.
We begin today with breaking news.
So some news. So first, actually, a retraction. Retraction. Backing it up. So last week, I said that Adventurers Club and SEA are the same thing. That is not true. They are two different organizations. SEA is people who and places and things.
Oh.
Yes. No, SEA is the club that kind of ties all the theme parks together, and Indiana Jones is in it. Mary Oceaneer, the one for the new Soarin' Ride, Falcor. I want to call her Falcor. That's not Mary Falcon. Something Falcon. I should know this. I just watched her ride through.
I did too. That queue is dope. Beautiful.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh yeah, the ride's the same as all the others, but look at this queue.
Well, no, it has Tokyo.
It does, and Tokyo, and then it has Tokyo Sea or Tokyo Sea. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where it is.
Yeah,
makes
Sea
sense.
And the, you know, Sea.
Sea.
And then the Adventurers Club had a club that Michelle was a big fan of.
Physical location at Downtown Disney.
Downtown Disney.
Oh, I love it. I miss
but
it so much.
I feel like it was very similar time periods and ideas. Like, these people who like to further education in the world and were in, like, Victorian period.
Well, the Adventurers Club was, like, 1939.
Oh, and then I guess C was Indiana Jones, so that was probably 20s, 30s, so I guess it wasn't Victorian.
The 30s.
Yeah,
yeah.
So similar, but they just hated each other. They're like,
No,
I just made that up.
I was like, they did?
Indiana Jones was like, this belongs to the museum.
And Hathaway Brown is like, yes, she does. She's old. And Pamelia's like, meh.
But yeah, Albert is a part of C. I guess, is he an unofficial member?
Albert?
Yeah.
Well, Henry Mystic would be a member.
But Albert's like, he's also in the club.
He's pretty cool.
He's not like Chewbacca where you don't give him a medal. Like, you give Albert a medal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we wanted to say a special thanks to our Patreons again, to Wynette, Lauren, David, and Danny. Thank you so much. Thank you to all our Patreons. You're amazing. We have lots of special content. We have bonus episodes. We'll send you a postcard.
From Disneyland.
From Disneyland. So if you
want... Not just from any old post office.
From Disneyland USA, even though they don't stamp it anymore. Michelle, what was our bonus episode about today?
Well, due to zero demand, we have created a special ride-along video
companion piece commentary.
So you can pretend that you're riding along with Jasmine and Michelle.
Yay! So this week's episode is about Journey into Imagination and Spaceship Earth. So we do watch some ride through videos and did some, I guess you can call it live commentary.
Yeah.
At the time it was live. So you can know what it's like to go with us on the ride where we talk the whole time.
Everything is live at one time.
Everything is live at one time.
That's deep.
It's deep cut.
Deep cut.
Just like our bonus episodes.
Ta-da!
So, yeah, go to patreon.com/1313harbor, the podcast, or just search for 1313 Harbor, the podcast. And that's our shameless plug for this week. Thank you. So, and now we're going to get into the news. So, Michelle.
Yes.
A bubble tea theme park pop-up called Tokyo Tapioca Land will be opening in Japan from August 13th till September 16th. Part of the opening day ceremonies will involve the entire nation shouting Suck It Dale across the ocean.
Oh my gosh. First of all, that was an emotional roller coaster because I need there to be boba in the parks. So I was just like,
Yep, she's going up the hill.
Boba, boba, and then you're like, Japan, and I was like, woo! Yep. But then you were like, Suckadale, and I was like, whoop! And it was really exciting.
So, it's a temporary, but I don't know if there's rides and such. I think it's just a bunch of different...
Wait, it's a ride?
It's a pop-up theme park, which is what it's called.
Oh, so like a fair?
Yeah, like a fair, but fancier. It's basically not all the boba vendors of Tokyo, but a lot of them. It's going to be in front of Harajuku Station.
Ooh.
So it'll be in a very fashionable district. It'll be a very fashionable pop-up.
Cool.
Hopefully the rides will be a little more stable. Or hopefully, what if the rides are like, you jump on a giant boba, or like you get a giant boba and you get to eat it?
What if it's like, you know those big like hamster balls?
Yes, but boba.
But you're a boba.
Yes.
And like you're on water.
And you're in milk tea.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then you go on a roller coaster and you're a boba and you plunge into the milk tea. Yep.
I would love this. I want milk tea so bad right now.
If Japan wants to hire us,
we will be consultants for your boba
for free.
Yeah.
You can get boba if you get it with Splenda and you get it with almond milk, it's a lot, and you don't get it with the actual bobas in there, it's a lot less calories.
Yes, but
I know it takes the joy out of it. That's like me saying, you could eat this chalk.
Ooh, chalk.
Chalk.
It's like the Japanese porn star diet.
Yes.
You can only eat paper, but you can eat all the paper you want.
So anyone who does that diet, let us know. All the paper you want.
Mm-hmm.
So during Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party this year at the Magic Kingdom, select attractions will get a holiday layover. Attractions include the musical, Tomorrowland Speedway, Monsters, Inc., Laugh Floor, Space Mountain, and Mad Tea Party. Now, I get Tomorrowland Speedway. You're just going to put up probably like some Christmas lights, some trees, some decorations in the middle.
Maybe some Christmas music.
Oh, that would be delightful. I get what you could do for Monsters, Inc., just add some Christmas stuff. Space Mountain Christmas?
I thought you said teacups.
That's the last one. It's Mad Tea Party is one of them, but I also said Space Mountain. How is that holiday overlay?
I literally had a stroke because my brain could not... Like, my brain could not comprehend that.
What if they could be, like, really cool and do, like, a Hanukkah-themed Space Mountain? And I don't know how you do that, but, like, smarter people than me can figure that out.
Yeah, get on that, WDI.
Yep, get on that. You could have, because lights, and there's, because, yeah, how do you do Christmas? Like, Space Christmas, the trees on the ceiling, oh.
The aliens are...
Yeah, the aliens would celebrate Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they're...
For sure.
Yeah, because they're more open-minded, so yeah.
I have no idea, but okay, sure.
Yeah, cool beans.
So why those attractions? And like, there's nothing in Fantasyland?
That was just on the list that I saw that came from Disney. There could potentially be more, but...
Like, Belle has a Christmas... Of course I'm Belle-centric.
Yes.
But like, Belle has a Christmas movie and a Christmas dress.
Yes!
Like, why isn't she in the... I guess because it's like an in-between... I'm not... Whatever.
Yeah.
But...
They don't like the sequels.
Well, they used to have an interactive show with Belle and she had a Christmas overlay, which was pretty cool. She just wore her blue dress with a mistletoe as well. It was like a red, it was this really pretty red coat with like fur trim.
Oh, is that the one you have? No, that one's pink.
No, that's the pink one from Something There.
Okay.
I eventually want that jacket. I'll commission it from someone.
It will happen one day.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be more stuff. Those are just the official ones.
And also it's July.
Yeah.
You have a few months.
You have a few months, Disney. You can prepare.
Yeah.
I would like them to do Peter Pan and then there's just Christmas trees randomly everywhere.
Okay.
And then there's giant like ornaments and then Tinkerbell so small.
Oh, that would be so cute. Or she's stuck in one. She's like,
yes!
Help me.
I'm stuck in an order. I don't know what she sounds like. It'd be like,
I'm stuck in a glass case of emotion.
But it'd be like, tickle, tickle. Reservations now open for Galaxy's Edge previews for select pass holders at Hollywood Studios. The previews are from August 17th to the 21st. So this is similar to our previews, but this is just for pass holders. And you have to have the two top passes, I believe.
Oh.
The platinum ones.
Sure.
And yeah, you just get to make a reservation to see it before everyone else.
Cool.
And it's just like, I always kind of laugh a little bit. This is not a read against Orlando. But it is funny to me that people are, like, treating this like we were treating Disneyland, and they're so excited, like, guys, I made my reservation. Isn't this awesome? Like, yeah, it already opened here.
Yeah, but, I mean, people didn't get to do it.
But some of the people I know who did get to do it over here
Going there?
Yeah, are going there and, like, being like, guys, I got my reservation. Like, cool. Good for you.
Yeah.
Two very enthusiastic thumbs up.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's cool. Like, not Smuggler's Run, when
Rise of the Resistance.
Rise of the Resistance opens, that's going to be cool. That will be cause for celebration.
Oh, yeah. I look forward to waiting a very long time for it. And if it breaks down, I will punch a Jedi.
Yes, I will wait and run and go, I'm a Jedi.
I will punch a Gungan.
I will jump on Chewbacca's back and be like, I love you.
I am a Jedi.
And just take my $200 lightsaber and just start hitting people with it.
Oh, wow.
Just very violently.
You're having a lot of feelings about this.
I'm just having a lot of emotions about this. I recently did... Oh, so I have another retraction. So I went on Smuggler's Run with Allison, and she is one of the best pilots, if not the best pilot. So if I said anyone else... So Dale's really good. Cameron I haven't been on with yet, so I don't know how good he is, but he said, I'm going to believe he's good.
Yeah, no.
She's really good.
Really?
Yeah, and she and I were playing the Play app in line, and that's super fun. So if you're ever in line for Smuggler's Run, I recommend the Play app. So the first part of the line, you have to scan the boxes, like you do in other parts of the park. And then the middle part, you have to do like a memory game where you have to look at an identity card, and you have to like remember the details, because it's supposedly like, oh, you have to remember your fake identity. Then the third part is you're looking at the Millennium Falcon and you have to identify certain pieces on there. The only problem is you're going through the Millennium Falcon part so fast.
That's the problem I had too, because I did it all and I thought it was super fun. But the Millennium Falcon, by the time, because the ride,
it assumes you're stuck on like one side for a really long time.
Yeah, it's like, no, sorry,
I can't identify how many like breathing ports there are.
I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, no, I just had to guess. And literally every single time I guessed and got it wrong till the third time. Every single time.
At least you're consistent.
Oh, and then a miracle happened. So we were behind a family of four with two young, not like little kids, probably like under 10 though, between like 6 and 10. And I was like, we're going to be on the same ship as them, and they're going to be the pilots, and we're going to get stuck in the back. And we know how we had this discussion last week. And a miracle happened. And so when you go into that main room, you kind of all crowd towards the front. And that's what cast members tell you to do when you're in the room where they kind of explain the spiel to you.
Oh, with Hondo?
Hondo, yeah. You're just in a big room, and like the line kind of doesn't matter anymore. They just say everyone squish into the front as much as possible. So we ended up in front of them. So we were the first two in line right before them, and Allison and I got to be pilots.
Woo-woo!
And we got them to their destination safe.
Oh,
yeah. And they all were terrible, and even the cast member was telling them how terrible they were, but we were awesome.
Why was the cast member?
Oh, the cast member's like, you owe negative money to Hondo. Like, you owe money, and like, you guys were terrible. And Allison got really upset, rightfully so, because we did a wonderful job. Like, she hit the brakes, and I was impressed. Like, it was smooth sailing. You're welcome, family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very rude cast member.
Yeah, it was very rude. Yeah, I don't like it when they do that. They should still be like, you guys did great.
At least you got there.
Or like, oh.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, we have to put out a few fires, but like, you guys still get great. I don't know. Like, at least make it funny.
Spin it.
But she was just like, you guys suck.
Like, okay.
You suck.
Cool story.
Nancy.
Get out of here, girl.
Like, we did a wonderful job, so I know you're a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nancy.
So I really need to go and watch Dale, Allison and Cameron all pilot, and then but Allison and I made a good team too.
Oh
yeah, we worked together, and I'm not the best pilot in the world. I'm just better than a lot of people.
Such modesty.
So it's a humble brag.
The only thing I'm bad at is modesty, because I'm great at it.
The only thing I'm bad at is not crashing the ship. Or crashing the ship, sorry.
Yeah.
Do over. The only thing I'm bad at is crashing the ship.
Oh!
Pew, 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 pew. So, advanced reservations. So, speaking of Galaxy's Edge, advanced reservations can now be made for Oga's Cantina and Savvy's Workshop 14 days in advance, but some reservations will be held back for same-day reservations.
Wait. Mm-hmm. I heard that it was like regular dining rules.
No, only 14 days in advance.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, I need to tell my friend that, because she was asking me. She was like, I want my husband to see it. And it was closed, so okay.
So yeah, so now you can make them up to 14 days in advance, but let's say you and I one day are like, oh, let's just, like, let's today. We're like, let's go, we're not going to, but we're like, let's go to Savvy's today, or let's go to Ogus today. We could see if there's any same day reservations.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nighttime, so there's not any.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last, for a while, you could get them. The reservations were wide open, and now for the last few times I've gone, they've been booked all day.
Oh.
Yeah. But now you can make them 14 days in advance.
Hooray!
Hooray! Hershey Park is opening a new roller coaster called Candemonium.
Ooh!
It's a pun. The world's sweetest roller coaster.
Oh my gosh!
Coaster will reach top speeds of 76 miles an hour.
What?
Let me explain to you how fast 76 miles an hour is. When you go on Space Mountain and you think you're going to die, I think you're going like 30, maybe 35 miles an hour. I still think that's too fast. I think it's under 30.
It's, yeah.
Faster than that. That's like when you're in a car and you're going 76, your dad's like, slow down.
Well, like 76, that's 12 mm-hmm. miles per hour less than going Back to the Future.
Yes, exactly. And you're going to see some serious stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't...
That's exciting, though.
That is very exciting. I mean,
I've never been to Hershey Park.
I had an option one time when I went to visit my friend Amanda, who lives in Philadelphia. Her mom's like, you can go to Hershey Park, or like, I guess you could go to Baltimore if you wanted, and I picked Baltimore.
Because of
the John guy. Waters and The Wire, and she thought I was the weirdest person in the world, that I didn't want to go to Hershey Park, and I wanted to go to Baltimore.
Well, like, a lot of... Because Hershey Park's not that far from where I grew up in mm-hmm. New York. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would go all the time, mm-hmm. except me.
You just wanted that chocolate.
I was too busy at Action Park.
Yeah, Action Park, trying not to die. There was a list I was watching of the strangest theme parks, and Action Park was called.
Yeah.
And they're like, Action, or was it Class Action Park? Or
yeah. Hey, man, we're known for something.
I just like that commercial, there's that kid who's clearly on drugs, who's like, I like going to Action, or it's like, Action Park, I love it there. And his eyes are like so wide and like.
Look, it was the early 90s, all kids were on cocaine.
Yes, no, this was like, someone slipped this kid something and he was just like, I love Action Park, I love it. So yeah, let's go to Hershey. I want to become popular enough that Hershey flies us out there and we get chocolate bars and we get to go on rides and we'll eat the... We'll record the podcast and eat chocolate bars and go on the roller coaster at the same time.
Why are you torturing me? I'm on my con diet.
I know, I'm talking about boba.
Why do you hate me?
Pop-up Disney to close September 2nd. So we need to go.
Yeah.
If we're going to go.
It's my birthday.
That is your birthday.
Should we go on my birthday?
I mean, it's going to close that day, so maybe before your birthday.
Okay.
I feel like that place, a lot of people, and when I say a lot of people, I mean you and me, we didn't go because you asked me, you said, should I go? And I said, no, because everyone's going to go there and everyone's going to get pictures there. I feel like I saw an initial burst of pictures, but I haven't seen very many since.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, it's $30, so I feel like people... Don't want to pay that.
I think there's an AP discount, no?
Oh, I would like that. But the AP discount is
like 15, 20%.
Yeah, 20% or 15%. So, yeah, still like $25.
We math good,
between $20 and $28.
I don't know.
I don't know science.
Look.
I'm too pretty.
Literature is never my forte.
Don't help me. I'm too proud.
Me, whenever they're like, do you want to buy a bag for 10 cents? I'm like, no, I'm too proud.
Could it carry this out?
Yeah, and then I freeze my arms while my TV dinners that I'm eating until D23.
And you just peel your skin off and you're like, extra protein. I'm looking, I have a Pooh Bear plushie on my bed and it's just staring at me right now.
Yeah.
He is. At least that Porg has haunting eyes.
Yeah, that Porg will murder you one day.
No matter where that Porg is, I bought the stuffed Porg from Galaxy's Edge. No matter where it is in my room, it's looking at me.
Yeah.
And it wants to murder me. So if I die, look at that Porg.
Yep.
So we don't talk about horror nights very much. Or ever. Because Michelle and I are afraid.
Yep.
I will admit this proudly.
Yeah.
But I thought, why not talk about the mazes that they've announced so far?
Because we're afraid?
Well, we'll know what to avoid.
Sure, Jane.
So in Hollywood, they started announcing the mazes in spring. And I always think, like, good for the people who like that. Like, they make a fun thing out of it. They announce it in special ways. It's cool. It's exciting. It'd be like if they, like, were announcing, like, a fun maze where they give you chocolate and hugs at the end.
Oh, or a fun maze where, like, you had to use your wand to do spells.
Yeah, so imagine if they're like, oh, what's the theme this year for all the different, like, there's a Hogwarts theme, a Hogsmeade.
Oh, no, no, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Oh.
What if they did all the maze, this would never happen, but they did, like, a bunch of mazes that were the Triwizard Tournament.
And then you had to find, like, you slowly found out the games. Like, oh, and it's going to be, you know, through the haunted forest.
Yes.
And then you have to find ghosts. And then you have to mine for spees.
Yeah. yes. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. So imagine that excitement for some people.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then you also get candy at the end.
Yeah.
No matter what. Win, lose, or draw, you get candy.
Yep.
Just how much candy... Depends
on how well you did.
Yeah, obviously. This is America.
Yeah.
We can't give everyone a chocolate frog.
No, capitalism.
Yeah, capitalism. It's great. So the mazes are... So in Hollywood, it's going to be Stranger Things, Ghostbusters, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, and Holidays in Hell, spelled with a Z.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I thought the Ghostbusters one's cool.
I kind of want to go to the Ghostbusters one.
I don't, because things are going to be jumping out at you and trying to scare you, and you're going to try to punch it. It's not going to be Peter Venkman being sassy. It's going to be a man from West Hollywood who's an actor jumping out and scaring you.
I see the distinction.
Yeah,
yes.
You see this distinction here? So, Ghostbusters is fun. Stranger Things, it's season two. You don't watch Stranger Things, do you?
I watched the first season. I didn't watch the second season. Mm-hmm. And I was in the same room as Dale watched the third season.
I like it. So, I find that exciting. Last year, that maze wasn't that frightening. Like, I don't think much jumped out at you, which I appreciate.
I actually am super intrigued. And now I really want to go for Ghostbusters.
You can go and I can drop you off and eat a chocolate frog in the car.
That is a good idea. No, no. This is a good idea because then I can do a report and tell you how scary things are.
But like, I feel like, are you really going to go?
I don't know.
Would Dale go?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know him then.
I don't know her.
I don't. I feel like he would. He's a good sport.
I am not. I'd be like, nope.
No, but it's good. We can have different points of view.
Yes. My point of view is I'm afraid.
Ah.
So in Orlando, they're going to have Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which is
in
actually...
where?
The Paris of the South.
Orlando, known as the Paris of the South.
They're going to have... Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which is like a cheesy movie. Ghostbusters.
Woo!
Yeti, Terror of the Yukon.
Is that like Joe Rohde's nightmare?
Yeah, that is Joe Rohde. It's just Joe Rohde's earring, and that's what saves you, though, from the Yeti, is you have to shake the earring. And then at the very end, it's the disco Yeti, and it's not moving, and it's just Joe Rohde going, no, because that's his nightmare.
Oh! Yeah. That's good.
That's good. I just made that. You're welcome, Universal. There will be Depths of Fear, which looks like it's something to do with water. Yeah. Universal Monsters, Nightingales, Blood Pit, and Stranger Things. The Nightingales one looks like a Romany theme. I think it's a game or something. There's somebody out there who's going, Nightingales is the best game ever, yo, or whatever. Like,
sure.
It is. I don't know. But Michelle's going to possibly go to this.
Well, to Hollywood.
Well, Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, I'd go with Dale.
Yeah. You can see the Stranger Things that one and be like, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Get it. I would go, like, I would go to Hogsmeade, go through the mazes first.
Ride the movies, yeah.
And then go home.
Mm-hmm. You can also watch ride-throughs online, which is what I do. And then I put my hand over the screen, so when stuff jumps out, I fast forward, and I see where everything jumps out, and then I back up. People always complain that they're like, oh, it's so crowded, you can see where the monster jumps out way in advance. I like that. I like that it's so crowded that I can see 30 feet in advance this thing's going to jump out at me. It's still going to scare me, but like at least I know, like, okay, this is coming. I don't like to be startled.
I don't like to be startled either.
No.
I had to talk to a coworker about that once. He like kept startling me, and I kept screaming, and my throat would hurt.
Demon!
I know. No, and I was like, these are weird conversations I have to have with people. I'd be like, hey, I really don't like it when you do that. You know how like in PSAs, they're always like, this is how you talk to someone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, man, I really like working with you, but I really don't like when you do this. Would you mind not doing that? And do you know what he did?
He startled you again?
Yes. He also made fun of me for like 3 months. And I was like, cover any of this in the pamphlet.
You should have gone to HR and been like, I'm a protected group. I'm a woman. You can't make fun of me.
It's okay. I don't work there anymore.
That's good. You work for a much better place now.
I work for Dunkin' Donuts.
And you are the manager.
Yes.
The nighttime manager.
Yes. I am the night manager at a beautiful Dunkin' Donuts.
In
New Rochelle.
New Rochelle. It's the best Dunkin' Donuts in the tri-state area.
Mm-hmm.
You should be proud.
I am.
You should be.
Thank you.
So, yeah, Michelle's going to go to Universal and die, and then her ghost will help me do this podcast.
You can just do it by yourself.
Yeah, I'll just be like, I'm Jasmine, and I'm Michelle. That's what I do when I'm testing out the microphone, is I just go on my chair, and I wheel back and forth, and I go like, I'm Michelle, you have a different voice every time.
Oh.
Sometimes it's just my voice.
Do I ever sound like sultry? I'm like,
I'm Michelle.
I'm Michelle.
That's my sultry voice. Yeah. My sultry voice is just very creepy. I'm Michelle. It's like Buffalo Bill.
I was going to say it's a little B. Arthur.
Oh, B. Arthur. No, but I'll be like, I'm Michelle. Like, it's more, yeah, Buffalo Bill's more like, yeah, I'm Michelle.
Precious. And I just make this sound.
Precious. My precious. Now this has turned into a Silence of the Lambs fan podcast.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, Buffalo Bill. I can't say any of the lines from that movie that are famous because this is a family-friendly podcast.
I have never seen that movie.
It's a very good movie.
Is it?
It's a very good. No, it really is a very good movie. It's like the Citizen Kane of scary movies.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, but just it's just like really good.
Sure.
Really, really good.
No.
I'm going to convince you that it's really, really good.
Nope.
Okay, moving on. So this week, our rides are, I guess you could say the theme is rides in Epcot that used to be better back in the day.
And now are fine.
Fine. They're fine.
They're fine.
They're fine.
They're fine.
So I'm covering Journey into Imagination.
And I'm covering Spaceship Earth.
The most magical of spaceships, Spaceship Earth.
The most geocentric.
It is the most. We're being very Earth-centric right
yes.
now. That we're saying Earth is the best spaceship. Maybe Uranus is the best one.
Maybe you're in it.
So, Michelle, tell me about Spaceship Earth.
Well, Jasmine, I would love to tell you about the 18-story geosphere that marks the entrance to Epcot Center.
Ooh.
That's what they say on the monorail.
Oh, good.
They're like, to your left is the 18-story. Anyway, I just always think that's like a little tidbit that I
memorize. I like
memorize.
That. Thank Give you. Me some more bits of this tid.
So Spaceship Earth is located in Epcot, which mm-hmm. is located at Walt Disney World. It's not located in any other theme park.
Mm-hmm. In the Paris of the South.
In the Paris of the South. Originally, Epcot's thesis was a celebration of human achievement.
Ooh.
And now it's like...
We got IPs and alcohol.
So Spaceship Earth, in my opinion, documents communication, storytelling, and connection.
And edutainment?
Well, in an edutainment-filled
okay.
way.
Yes.
My favorite.
The best thing ever.
Which I think is appropriate that it's, like, this is talking about, it's like the opening, yes, it was opening day, but it's like the big attraction of Epcot,
mm-hmm.
but also it's a way of communicating, which mm-hmm. Disney communicates stories, they're storytellers. So I think it's appropriate.
I like it.
So the structure, the design is based off the 1967 World's Fair America Pavilion. See, we're very
Ooh.
America-centric, which was in Montreal.
Mm.
And now...
And 67. So mm-hmm. interesting. They usually take so much from 64.
I know.
Mm.
And the biosphere is still there. It's now the Biosphere Museum.
Oh. Is it a museum celebrating biospheres?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's museum...
Golf balls.
Yeah! It's a golf ball museum starring Disney Daddy.
Just in the golf
Eisner. So if you look at the sphere, mm-hmm. it looks like a golf ball. Mm-hmm. That's what everyone says.
Yeah.
It's a big golf ball.
On a fancy tee.
It's so cool.
Mm.
It's actually two spheres with a 2-foot gap in between for maintenance.
Yes.
So you have the inside sphere and that houses the ride. Mm-hmm. And then there's a 2-foot gap. And then that's where the like triangles that make all the different
patterns. I want to go between those two. Not really.
No, I would be so claustrophobic. Absolutely.
Get me out.
Not. So the outside tiles actually act as gutters and route the water to the World Showcase Lagoon. And it also is a wind tunnel.
Oh.
Which was, that was not intentional. Mm-hmm. But like, it's always windy under there. But Disney turned to MIT to do tests on a 1/6 scale model of the structure to see if the winds under the structure would cause a wind tunnel that would cause guests to fall over.
Did
the answer
it?
Is no.
Oh, good.
So that's
good. I want him to call it like the winds of the world.
The winds of the earth. Spaceship Earth's winds.
And you just go in there and you're like, whoa, my hat.
Well, speaking of Spaceship Earth, the name actually comes from the 1968 operating manual for Spaceship Earth by Buckminster Fuller.
Buckminster?
Yeah, what was that like? Buckminster, come down, dinner's ready. So science fiction writer Ray Bradbury helped write the first story. The Ray Bradbury wrote Fahrenheit
411? 451.
Yeah, yes, 451, which was written at the UCLA campus.
Oh.
There's like a little plaque, like this mm-hmm. is where he wrote mm-hmm. the book. I doubt that.
And he was friends with Walt Disney, right?
I don't know.
I think they were buddies.
Sure.
Yeah, he was friends with somebody.
I feel like Walt Disney was friends with everyone.
He was. He was that guy. He's like, he's like the Michelle of the theme park world. Just friends with everybody.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
A genius, creative, nice person who is friends with everybody.
Thanks. The summary of the ride is basically communication through the ages, from caveman to binary code.
Ooh. To today.
To today.
And tomorrow.
The ride is an Omnimover. It has lots of animatronics on it. Mm-hmm. So there's so many animatronics that a lot of the faces are reused from Hall of Presidents and Carousel of Progress.
Yes.
If you listen to our bonus episode, I point them out.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, she does.
Some of them, not all of them.
Yeah, a few of them.
I'm not perfect.
A handful.
Spaceship Earth has had different incarnations, including different narrators. Mm. So the first narrator was Lawrence Dobkin, who was an actor who served as the narrator of the Hall of Presidents from 71 to 93. Walter Cronkite.
Yes.
And that's the way it was. And
Michelle did a finger mustache.
Yeah, because he had a mustache. And that was when Walter Cronkite did the narration. That's when the amazing song, Tomorrow's Child.
Tomorrow's Child.
Something else.
Something about Tomorrow's Child.
I love that song. I was listening to it at work today.
I've heard that song, actually.
It's so good.
It is. It's a good song.
I like it. Then Jeremy Irons, the best one. Listen to this synergy. Mm-hmm. So it came out in 94. Guess what else came out in 94 involving Jeremy Irons?
Does it have to do with a lion that's a king?
It does. As a matter of fact, it does. Lion King came out. So, and now it's Dame Judi Dench.
I like Dame Judi Dench. She's going to be old Deuteronomy in your favorite movie, Cats.
Jellicle, can Jellicle do, et cetera.
I cut out a whole tangent in the last episode of Michelle talking about cats.
Oh, man. Never let me have any fun on this podcast. I just want to talk about how unique it is.
Unique
what
New York.
What a unique experience. So when the voice actor changes, the ride will get a little sprucing up. Mm-hmm. So some changes were, originally there was a boy's bedroom, an 80s woman at her desktop computer, and a communication center. Mm. For the Jeremy Irons version, that was replaced with basically what we would call FaceTime now.
Yes.
But then it was like teleconference video. Amazing.
With Japan.
Oh, wow. Mm. They're friends and they're from different countries. So, mate, it's the future. Then in 2005, when Siemens became the sponsor, mm-hmm. Siemens is a German telecommunication brand.
Oh, I was going to ask what they make. Communications.
Yeah. In German. So, ich liebe dich.
Ich bin ein Kreisarkender, 99 Luftballons. It's wunderbar.
Wunderbar. So in 2005, Siemens became the sponsor, and there used to be, for the Millennium Celebration, the Epcot Ball got this Mickey hand and a wand.
The controversial Mickey hand and wand.
Yes, that said 2000.
Yes.
And then after the year, and then year 2001 came. Yeah. And they changed 2000 to Epcot, mm-hmm. and everyone hated it.
Yep.
So Siemens was like, und ja, take it down.
We do not like this, ja.
Yeah. When the wand came down, all Disney fanboys rejoiced. Hooray!
Hooray for being brave.
And then in that refurbishment, there were better movements on the figures, added effects. They censored the female. The sculptor was working on a female body. Actually, this was in the 94 version. They censored her tata, bodacious tata.
It was like the Venus de Milo who was au naturel, and then they put her in like a loose drapey number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was around the time that like people are getting really PC. So like Pirates of the Caribbean had to chase. It wasn't men chasing wenches. Mm-hmm. It was wenches chasing men with food.
Yes. Or was it the women? No, the women had food and then the men were chasing them.
Yeah.
And then eventually, then there was that one bigger woman chasing the man, which that's me. Also, fun fact, if you look in that scene where they, it's the sculpture scene. Mm-hmm. If you look, there's a sketch of the sculpture and that is not censored. That's the original version.
Mm.
Yeah.
Scandalous. Mm. Oh, yeah. So in the 2017 refurbishment, Dame Judi Dench became the narrator.
That's recent.
2007?
Oh, you said 2017.
Oh, sorry. 2007. Not recent. Dame Judi Dench became the narrator. They added a scene of like a woman in the 60s, an African-American woman in the 60s doing like computer science.
Yes, in a big computer lab in an awesome mustard tight.
Yes. And then a scene of, it's supposed to be like a Silicon Valley person. It's not Steve Jobs. It's not Steve Wozniak. It's like a...
The Woz.
The Woz. It's an amalgamation of both of them.
Yes.
And
not
then,
chubby or thin, somewhere in between.
Some dad bod, yeah. I suppose.
Somebody's dad bod.
And then you go into like binary code and it's boring. Mm-hmm.
Just a ceiling full of binary code.
In my opinion, at that point, the ride sucks. And just play on your
phone.
Yeah.
So literally the ride is like, it's great, it's great. And then you start to go down the Geo Sphere and it's just literally like you start playing games on this little iPad.
You do like this little interactive quiz that's like, do you want to live in the country?
Yes.
Or the city? Mm-hmm. And then they take a picture of your face as you're, when you're going in the ride. And then they put that face on a cartoon and then you do things.
And you have a little wife.
Well, not all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't have a wife. Sometimes
you have
alone.
A husband.
Or you're alone.
Or you're alone.
That's the accurate future. It's just, yeah, it's really this letdown that's this great ride. And then the whole second half, which is at least 2 or 3 minutes, probably
yeah, it's
longer.
It's like darkness.
It's darkness and this game.
Yeah. So in the Jeremy Irons version, the best version, when you went down, they had all these dioramas of communication. Mm. So it was like people teleconferencing with each other. So like, meet your baby brother and like the boys at in like, oh, hello, like a doctor talking to them.
Isn't the doctor like, I want to meet my baby brother. And she's like, actually, Jeremy, your baby sister is doing just
stop
fine.
Stop being so binary, Jeremy. And there was this beautiful, like, cut out silhouette of, like fantasy Epcot. Yeah. And it had all of these bridges of communication.
Ooh.
It was so gorgeous. And they took it away.
As they do.
As they do.
They're like, oh, this is great. This is perfect. Everyone loves it.
Delete.
Get rid of it.
Let's put everyone in darkness.
Get out of here.
I don't like it. Then when you leave the ride, which now is...
You're not allowed to. You have to stay on it forever.
You have to stay on it forever. When you're about to leave the ride, you get to go into the wonderful post-show section.
Ooh.
So originally, it was called Earth Station. Mm. So in the 80s, you could make dining reservations via a touch screen.
You could touch the screen.
And it would react to your touches.
Of the computer.
Of the computer.
That fit inside a building.
Correct.
I just, you're making stuff up. I don't believe you. You're a liar.
I swear. So that was Earth Station. And they had like really cute commercials for other attractions. Mm-hmm. Like there was a little Figment cartoon that was like, I'm Figment. Aww. And I'm cute. And then Earth Station turned into Global Neighborhood, which I went to. I just walked through it. I didn't really care.
It was fine.
It was fine. Mm-hmm. And now it's and then now it's Project Tomorrow, which also is fine.
It's also fine.
Fine.
It's fine.
It's like digital, like shadow. I don't know. It's fine. Mm-hmm. That is my book report on Spaceship Earth. The reason I like this attraction so much is because one, I think it's relaxing. I love seeing so many animatronics.
Yes, it's so rare now.
That makes me so happy. So I love it, and it's great, and everyone should ride it.
Yes.
And go underneath it when it rains in Orlando because you don't get wet.
Yeah, you'd think it all go down, like go all the little cracks and hit you, but no, it does not because science.
Science.
So speaking of science, there is the science, physical science. There is biological science, which might be the same thing.
Sure.
There's space science.
Yep.
There's imagination science.
Oh, tell me more.
Let me take you on this journey into imagination. So, Journey into Imagination has, there have been three different versions. Only one of them is good. Mm-hmm. One of them is fabulous, possibly the best ride Disney's ever, one of the contenders for best ride Disney's ever built. Mm-hmm. The second one is contender for the worst ride Disney's ever built.
Right up there with Superstar Limo.
If Superstar Limo didn't exist, I think this would be the worst ride. Mm-hmm. The third one is fine.
It's fine.
It's not great. It's fine.
It's fine.
So in the 1970s, let's go back in time, Michelle.
Ooh, disco.
Oh, look, there's Tony Baxter.
Hey.
He has a mustache.
Hey.
It's fabulous. So he had an idea to create a land called Discovery Bay at Disneyland. It was a Jules Verne inspired land where Galaxy's Edge is now. So where the land is for Galaxy's Edge, they were going to build a land kind of in conjunction with Frontierland called Discovery Bay. And it was Jules Verne themes. There was blimps everywhere, or zeppelins or whatever they're called.
Dirigibles?
Dirigible. Oh, you know that word?
Dirigible?
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember in my research, they said that word and I thought it was just something they made up. How did you know that?
Okay. So a dirigible, it has to do with like, a blimp is basically a balloon with a cabin and a dirigible actually has like structure to the balloon.
Oh, so you can go in the balloon?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you die.
You can't. But like, so there's like wood. I read it because Dale was making fun of me. He's like, why do you say dirigible when you should just say blimp? And I'm like, you just want to sound fancy. Yeah. And I'm like, well, yes. Yeah. Also,
I am correct. Never correct me again, Mr. Dale.
Mr. Dale.
Mr. Drum, who was wrong about so... The more I learn about your boyfriend, the more I learn he's wrong about so many things.
Boba, dirigibles.
Other things we've talked about that I can't remember. Lightsabers. I mean, he's changed his mind since, but initially he was not
pro lightsaber. Well, because he thought they were plastic.
Yeah, and he was wrong.
He was wrong.
So
you're telling me I have to break up with him.
Yeah, and go out with me.
Oh!
Yes! Upgrade.
You'd be a really good boyfriend.
I would be a good boyfriend. I come from a good family.
Uh-huh.
I drive a nice car. Uh-huh. I have a good job.
Yes.
I will not give you body issues.
We can just goof on TV and go to sleep without anyone trying any funny business.
It's like we're already friends, so it's like we've already been in the relationship for a long time. Just think about it, Michelle.
Okay.
You might have to fight Jenny, but just think about it.
Okay. Jenny Wright, I will fight you.
So back to Journey into Imagination. So one of the attractions for Discovery Bay, which was supposed to be Disneyland, was Professor Marvel's Gallery of Wonders.
Ooh.
Fancy. So this would be a rotating theater animatronic show similar to Carousel of Progress, featuring Professor Marvel and his pet dragon. So Discovery Bay never happened, unfortunately. But as we know, the theme of many of Disney and our podcast, Disney never lets go of a good idea. Good ideas always stick around at Disney and will be reused in some way. Epcot was being built and Kodak was one of their sponsors. Kodak's has had a partnership with Disney since the beginning of time, since the dawn of the dinosaurs.
Oh.
And Kodak wanted an attraction and they said for their attraction, all they asked for was, quote, something imaginative. So Tony Baxter's like, I got the perfect thing. So Baxter, along with Steve Kirk, then took the idea for Professor Marvel's and turned it into Journey into Imagination. Now let me tell you about this ride.
Please do.
So Robert Mullen wrote the original theme song.
I thought you meant Robert Mueller.
Robert Mueller. So yeah, back before he worked in politics,
he
wrote songs for Disney attractions.
Amazing. What a career.
What a creative gentleman. So Robert Mullen wrote the original theme song, but it wasn't Disney enough. So they brought in the Sherman Brothers who wrote One Little Spark.
I mean, they're nothing but Disney.
That is pure Disney.
Yeah.
So the original song was like, dun-dun into, or Journey into Imagination, which is very 70s. And then Sherman Brothers were like, One Little Spark inside of you, or whatever the words are. I feel like it changed. The original song is so long that like, I don't think the lyrics ever repeat. Just like, I was listening to it. It's like this nice tune, but like, it's like, One Little Spark, from me to you. Like, it always has different things in it. Ew. And it just goes, imagination. That's enough singing for me. The ride opened 5 months after Epcot's opening. So they wanted it to be an opening day attraction. That was not in the cards. So they had to, in the meantime, before the ride opened, they had a walk around Dreamfinder and Figment. The original rock walk around Dreamfinder was Ron Schneider and a Figment puppet that was real. Mm-hmm. It was not his hand.
That is who I affectionately call my uncle.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. So that's your uncle
Ron. Uncle Ron.
Yeah, your Uncle Ron. He's not really your uncle.
You know, we
family
met,
friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We mm-hmm. met through theme park stuff a million years ago.
Yes.
And
Yeah, he's on everything. When I was doing my research, his name is everywhere. So
yeah.
There were several walk around Dreamfinders, but he was the walk around Dreamfinder.
Yeah.
He did all the promotional material. He did voices in the ride.
Not voices in the ride.
I thought Wikipedia said he did the voice.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I thought
there
he
was
didn't.
A singing voice and a talking voice, and I think he did part of the talking voice.
What? Good. All
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
One time It's a Small World has the same chord progression of One Little mm-hmm. Spark. So we were on the Small World boats and he sang it to me.
Aww.
And it was the best. I was like, oh, this is the best.
And he didn't puppeteer Figment. That was real. That's the real Figment puppet.
Yeah, that's Figment.
That is the Figment. Like, he's an actor, mm-hmm. but Figment's real.
Yeah.
We all know this.
This is fact.
Yeah, this is factual. They were the two mascots for Epcot forever. I think they still kind of are unofficial. I know Figment's still the mascot for Epcot.
Yeah.
Because his stuff is everywhere. But yeah, it was basically they couldn't, when they built Epcot, they didn't want it to be like Disneyland. They couldn't have IP. Now that's different.
Yeah.
But back in the day, they didn't want IP. So they kind of created it. So Figment and Dreamfinder were the, you know, Disney princesses, if you will, of Epcot. The ride opened, the original version, which was called Journey into Imagination, opened March 5th, 1983, before either one of us were born.
Yep.
You had to think about that. The original ride featured Dreamfinder, voiced by, so they had two people, Chuck McCann and Ron Schneider, which is your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to say Rob Schneider. and the voice of Figment, or he also had Figment, and Figment was voiced by Billy Barty, which is a cool name, Billy Barty.
Mm-hmm.
The original dragon from Professor Marvel, which was created by Steve Kirk, was tweaked into Figment that we know today by, guess who was the one who tweaked the Figment?
Joe Rohde?
Nope.
Tony Baxter?
Nope. Extreme Atencio made the modern day version of Figment.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, Steve Kirk and Tony Baxter, I'm guessing just by my notes, they were partners on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on that. This is just...
We don't know.
I've just noticed their names are on a lot of projects together.
Mm-hmm.
And so Extreme Atencio kind of tweaked him into the lovable puppet we have today.
Do you know where Tony Baxter came up with the name Figment?
Yes, I actually was going to... That's the next part of my notes.
Get to it.
The name Figment comes from the show Magnum P.I., in an episode, Magnum has left a goat in another character's yard where it has eaten all the grass. After the character complained, Magnum told him the goat must have been a figment of his imagination. And then the other character replies, "Figments don't eat grass." And I guess Tony Baxter saw that, and that's a word that you know, but you don't use a lot, and he hadn't really heard it, like, in that context, like, almost like a name, like Figment. So he named, you know, its imagination, Figment. It's precious.
It's so precious.
And, you know, Magnum P.I., who doesn't love Magnum P.I.?
Nobody.
No, everyone loves Tony Baxter has a mustache. Magnum has a mustache.
And he was in a Disney movie.
He was in a Disney movie. Coincidence?
I think not.
Yep, Tony Baxter is Figment, created by Extreme Atencio.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah. Ask your Uncle Ron.
Yep.
Can
it's
he,
just canon.
One day we'll trick him into going onto our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll definitely.
Just hold the microphone in front of him.
Be like, do you want to talk about Journey into Imagination?
I know you're really sick of it, but do you want to talk about Journey into Imagination?
I don't think he is. No, I think he's really proud of it.
He did a Defunct Lands podcast about that.
Yeah.
So. And he's your uncle, so can you bring Figment?
I can. I don't. He lives in Orlando.
Well,
when we go to Orlando, maybe he'll meet up with us.
In the Paris of the South.
In the Paris of the South.
So Dreamfinder once described, this is my favorite description of Figment. He described him of having all the calm and reserve of a small child's birthday party. So I think that's a really good way to describe Figment. I like to think of Figment as a baby angel filled with childish delight.
Oh.
So even in the ride, I believe there's a line where Dreamfinder's kind of talking on his dream mobile. Also, I'll get that's in the next part. But and he kind of like comes up with Figment and he's like, I'm going to add a bit of childish delight to him. And then he's just all like sweet and innocent and so cute. I just love Figment. Who doesn't love Figment?
I love
evil people.
People who don't know real Figment.
That's true.
Because I hated him at first.
I like Figment pre-1999 or 8.
Yes. Yeah.
I like the real Figment. So the ride is about Dreamfinder and Figment taking guests on a journey through imaginary landscapes of art, literature, performing arts, and science, all of which are tied and inspired by imagination. So it's about all these great things and how it all started with one little spark, one little idea, and we're going to sing about it for 11 minutes. Imagination! So you go into the first part of the ride, which was, 11 or 12 minutes long. The ride starts with a large steampunk-style ship called the Dreamcatcher, and you are greeted by Dreamfinder and Figment. The long scene is on a large turntable, and it's similar to the Harry Potter ride today. So the scene is like 3 minutes long, and so you're going around the turntable. I think it's like four or five vehicles at a time. And the Dreamfinder is moving at the same speed as you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you didn't know that, you're just like, how is he with me for so long? Imagination. There were five identical scenes on the turntable and all played simultaneously, but there were walls in between so the sound wouldn't bleed through. Because that would ruin the illusion.
Totally.
And the Dreamcatcher moves with you at the same speed of the vehicle for, it's about a three-minute scene. So it just, I think that's, when you watch ride-throughs, it's still an impressive scene because it's like, how is this scene, like, are you stopped? Are you not moving? How is it moving along with you the whole time? It's imagination. The Dreamport scene is next. It is a whimsical room of distorted cartoon dimensions, levels, gears, and gauges. Among Dreamfinder and Figment's collection... So the Dreamport is where they collect all the dreams and imaginations and they store them. It's the imagination bank. It's the Gringotts of the imagination world. Tying it back to Harry Potter. Among Dreamfinder and Figment's collection of oddities is a giant coffee pot pouring coffee right above guests' heads. Ouch. Rainbows, a brainstorm made of many lightning bolts and a fog tornado, molecular structures, and a file cabinet of sounds and a perfume bottle that emitted the smell of flowers. There's also in that scene, I think, the clapping hands, and it's like in a box. I don't know the significance of that, but I just remember...
Applause?
Yeah, it's applause in a box.
Sure.
It's Lady Gaga's. She lives for the applause. That's her applause box. It was just, whimsical nonsense room of how they measured. It was, Disney's like, I don't know if they're so into nonsense anymore. This ride was very like, nonsense oriented. Like, it didn't make sense per se. There was a story, but it was just like, this is weird imaginative stuff.
Well, it's kind of like Small World and Haunted Mansion. Like, those are just kind
non-linear.
Of like, non-linear. Yeah. Just like, very, what's that guy you like? The Twin Peaks guy?
Oh, David Lynch.
Very David Lynch. Yep. Like, I'm just giving you a feeling and you use your imagination. Yes.
There is no interpretation because it's whatever you want.
Right.
Yes. Imagination.
Which I think right now we're not in a season of that, but maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's not as profitable. It's not as, like, guaranteed.
How do you know?
That's what they're assuming. But it is as profitable, I think, and has longevity. But that's just my opinion. Next is the art room. Every corner was filled with white scenery and animations that resembled origami art and paper cutouts. An origami carousel revolves with fantastical creatures, including a unicorn. The entire scene was beautiful and whimsical. So this scene, it's like, it looks kind of like the last scene of It's a Small World. Mm-hmm. There's just beautiful, ornate, like, white, like, just flowers and, like, just kind of abstract visions, and it's just very peaceful and cloud-like and dreamy, and it's just lovely. And I don't know how you could get rid of that and think that was okay.
Right?
Like, yeah. You have to watch... Okay, I encourage everyone to watch a ride-through of both of our rides because it really will explain a lot of what we're talking about. But watch, at least the original Journey into Imagination. It's just stunning. Like, every bit... It's just... The entire rooms are all filled. Like, there's not empty spaces anywhere. It's just everything has a visual delight.
So watch the original one first.
Yeah.
Well, actually, just watch, I mean...
Watch all of them so you can appreciate the different versions of the ride.
Yes.
And how less good it got.
Yes.
Literature comes next, with Dreamfinder playing an organ made of letters, and it's inside a volcano. It's very Jules Verne, so it's Tony Baxter. Mm-hmm. Anywhere Tony Baxter can put in a Jules Verne reference... He's going to put in a Jules Verne reference.
Hey, man, he has a shtick.
We all have our fandoms.
Right.
And that's his.
Yes.
Disney had Abraham Lincoln, Tony Baxter has Jules Verne.
Yeah.
So literature comes up. This part gets scary very quickly with the word terror written on the walls and psychedelic visual cues. So I believe Dreamfinder's writing like a scary novel or a horror novel. So like the word lightning flashes across in like cool neon lights, not neon, but like fiber optic type lights. And it says lightning, but it is lightning. There's the scene in this part where Figment, he's holding the block letters and it goes from bat to cat and there's a thing behind them and it changes from a bat to a cat. This part would get, there's like some screaming and spookiness in it. So I would be very scared. Current day Jasmine would be very scared.
Oh no!
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't go on this ride when I went to Epcot. I'm guessing maybe it was closed or like I was just like, this is terrifying. I don't know. I truly don't know. Or I did go on it and I just don't remember it. Yeah. Only thing I remember about this was when we went on a cruise right after to the Bahamas, there was a little boy who had a Figment. I talked about this before, a Figment puppet who was really irritating and would only talk to you through the Figment puppet, but he was not funny. And he was not charming. He was like modern day Figment.
And then he fell off the boat.
Yes.
And no one knows how.
And no one knows how he fell off the boat.
Jasmine.
But I have the Figment puppet now. Michelle is slowly backing away. One little spark. Just me pushing him off going, one little spark inside of you.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody write this. Make it so. So the next area is performing arts with Figment in a dressing room and Dreamfinder conducting. He's conducting an orchestra, but it's like a theremin. Like there's just moving patterns on the walls, and Figment's in a cute little tuxedo, and he's on one of those cool like Broadway style mirrors. And there's a little marquee, and it's like a circus is in town, and it's just precious and adorable. And round of applause for Figment and Dreamfinder, who has red hair. Not a lot of animatronics have red hair. Next up is space, aka the science section, but I like to call it space.
And what can you eat in space, Jasmine?
Spees! There is no spees on this ride.
Oh!
Yeah, that's the one flaw I can find with the original Journey into Imagination.
Even though spees was just invented 2 weeks
ago. That is true. You invented spees.
I did.
But you could have gone back in time.
I could have.
And put in the idea of spees. One little spark from me to you.
Imagine, like, if... Oh, man. If I had a time machine, I would love to roll up to Imagineering and be like... Hey guys, yes! I've got some ideas.
Lincoln.
He stands up, he sits down.
With Hamilton.
He raps.
Lafayette? Like, Hamilton can't rap.
I'll be like, oh yes, he can.
Oh yes.
There'll be also be like, what is rap?
Yes. Like a wrap, like a run, like a wrap around your sandwich?
Like a...
wrapping paper?
Like a wrap like a woman wears.
Yeah, like a shawl.
Stay warm.
My wife's mink coat.
I don't know. No.
So in this space section, there's a hitchhiking Figment, which is adorable. He's in a little spacesuit and he's hitchhiking and you're just going to pick him up and love him forever. You then see Dreamfinder in a white lab coat at controls. And then the cars glide around the room and he points out a view of Earth from space. And Earth is teeny tiny. And there's just little sciencey things in there. And
Epcot
it's fabulous.
Loved that. Epcot yes! loved to be like, look at Earth!
Dreamfinder was like the Barbie of the theme park world because he could be anything. He had a lab coat. Mm-hmm. He dressed in like kind of that Karnak look. He dressed in, he was a painter in one scene. In the art scene, he has a paintbrush and a little beret.
He's multifaceted.
He's every woman. It's all in him.
Yes.
And red hair. The train then passes a giant star and into the finale. So basically the theme of all these rides, the finale is the best part because it's the most Figment. And Figment is delightful.
Yeah.
At least this.
In the Jeremy Irons part, the finale was great.
Ah, and then they ruined it. So you go into the finale room and then there's a little animatronic Figment in the middle. And then you kind of go around him and then all around there's screens. Mm-hmm. And then on the different screens, there's Figment doing different cool imaginative things.
He's an accountant in one.
He's
getting a massage in another.
He's just like on a beach doing nothing, reading a book in one.
Yeah.
He's sprinkling some spees on his taco in another one.
He's doing downward dog.
He is. He just is fighting with his wife in another one.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
But really, there's dancer Figment, superhero, scientist, weightlifter, which is so cute because he's just like shaking like
me at the gym.
Mountain climber, horseback rider, sailor, and a pirate. And in the center is, I believe, Figment with the yellow sweater. So it's the Figment that is a later. So remember that yellow sweater. It will come later. Mm. And it's so cute. And it's puppet style. So it's the video. It's like a lot. It's not animatronic Figment. It's a puppet Figment in all the videos. And I believe those puppets have been up for sale in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people have bought them. And I hope they love them forever.
I think they do.
I think they do. So this version of the ride closed October 10th, 1998, due to budgetary restraints. So basically, Kodak, the ride was getting, it needed an update, and Disney was like, Kodak, give us money. But at this point in 1998, Kodak was like, hey, digital's becoming popular. We don't have as much, we've had to lay off thousands of employees. We don't have a ton of money. We can just give you this limited amount. But the maintenance for that ride was so expensive that Disney's like, we can't maintain this version of the ride. So then they changed it. So then they made Journey into Your Imagination.
My?
Your Imagination, all capitalized, Y-O-U-R. The attraction reopened October 1st, 1999. So it was closed for a little under a year. And the ride was updated to go along with the new Honey, I Shrunk the Audience attraction, which I don't know if it was in the same building, but it was.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. But that's no longer around, right?
No.
Which I'm surprised they still have Journey into Imagination, the theme that it is, because nobody
knows. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Like,
well, because where are they going to get the money to redo it?
That's Kodak.
Yeah. Everyone's Kodak cell phone taking pictures.
On their film Kodak.
That's right.
Their Brownie camera. The ride was completely changed from the original. Like, not even the track layout was the same. It was just no little sparks.
No sparks. I wonder what Tony Baxter must have thought of that.
Shame.
Ring, shame.
He just made the new guy walk around and he just rung the shame bell. Shame. He must have been, like, kind of upset, because wasn't he upset?
But he seemed so even keeled.
Yeah, he was just like...
But he must have been like, well, budget.
I'm upset.
Yeah.
I'm too busy building Disneyland Paris. No, this would have been after that. So I don't know. Yeah. Tony Baxter, if you're listening, let us know what you thought.
Yeah, Tony Baxter. Yeah.
Were you hurt? Were you sad? Were you glad? I mean, I'm sure you weren't
glad.
Were
you mad?
But did you want to redo it? Were you like, I could have done this better?
Yeah.
Were you retired at that point? I don't know.
Or were you like... I was going to say, because nothing was salvaged, so it's not like he was like, well, at least salvage this room or this part. Mm-hmm.
No, it was all gone. Or was he just like, suck it, I'm so much better.
I doubt it.
That's what he said. No, he was just looking at the mirror at his magnificent mustache and was like, I'm Tony Baxter,
maybe
hooray.
The mustache possessed him.
Yes.
And he was like, I approve these changes.
Yep. And then he's like, no, it's not me, it's the mustache, help me.
Help me, help me.
Help me. But you met him, so you, next time you meet him, you can ask him.
Oh, okay.
You're like, excuse me,
Tony Baxter.
Anthony.
Anthony?
Anthony? I have some questions for you. So the turntable show scene with Dreamfinder became the loading platform, and the ride length was shortened, as I said earlier, from 11 minutes to 5 minutes. So literally half the ride and a little bit more. I don't know math. The song One Little Spark was removed, as was Dreamfinder. So, like, what's great about this ride? Dreamfinder, Figment, One Little Spark, get rid of it.
What do we not like? Let's put...
Science.
We don't like the smell of a skunk. Let's put
it
in there.
Eric Idle. More of him.
More Eric Idle.
So Eric Idle hosted this version where guests would become test subjects at the Imagination Institute. The Imagination Institute screens you for imagination and finds that you have none.
Wah, wah. Wah, wah.
And basically calls you dumb. Then it takes you through a series of labs showcasing the different senses to help you grow your imagination. Because nothing says expensive like labs. Basically, when we were watching the ride through for the podcast supplementary bonus episode, I kept saying this ride reminds me so much of Superstar Limo.
Yeah, it definitely has a chintzy Superstar Limo feel.
Just like signs and dark tunnels and bare minimum and like...
Dark tunnels.
We spent $50 in each room, maximum.
And more dark tunnels.
More dark tunnels and 3 props in this room and a screen.
And a dark tunnel.
Look at this dark tunnel. It shows you different visual and audio illusions where your mind plays tricks on you, such as a disappearing butterfly. So that's a cool trick, like the disappearing butterfly, which that trick's also used on Pirates of the Caribbean when you go, and Disneyland, when you go past that man, and then on one side he's like a human, and then he's a skeleton, and then he's a human on the other side.
And then he's a butterfly.
Yeah, then he's a butterfly.
Yep.
And then he reads you a book from Reading Rainbow.
Yep.
And then there's also an illusion of a cement block going through a glass table, but it's really not a glass table. There's no glass there. So, like, the table's set, but there's nothing underneath it. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Michelle looks confused because it makes no sense. So, it's, like, it's basically saying, like...
Where is this?
So, it's in the old... it's into Journey into Your Imagination. There's a table, and it's set, and then this cinder block goes through it, and you think it's going to break, but really you realize there's no glass there. You just think it's there because the table's set, but it's... What is it on? I don't know. There's just weird visual cues and things. I think there's a part where, like, the train's coming towards you and you're just in a dark room. Because nothing says nice ride at Disney like a black room. In the gravity lab, everything is on the ceiling, and this includes water dripping to a basin. So you go into this part where literally everything's just on... It's like an entire house on the ceiling because it's an open house. Get it?
Oh!
And the only cool thing I remember seeing was water is, like, there's a leaky sink. And water's dripping into it, and I don't know how you would do that, because it really looked like water. I'm, like, doing the motion of the plunk, plunk, plunk with my hand. But, you know, it's upside down. Mm-hmm. So, A, how's the water in the sink? And B, how's the water, like, dripping into it?
I don't know.
Yeah, and then there's, like, steam coming out of a kettle, but it's coming straight out. That I get how you could do it. You just blast the steam out. But, yeah, it's just cool. See, that part I thought was cool, but, like, it's not enough for a ride. Like, that would be a great... What do you call that old imagination place, the building that turned in Disneyland?
Interventions?
Interventions. That would have been great. That would have been perfect for Interventions.
A teapot? That...
No, just like cool visual illusions.
Oh, got it.
Like, oh, cool, we're walking by that. That's awesome. That's not a ride, though.
No.
They're not going to get rid of a beloved ride for this monstrosity. No. Then you go through the imagination scanner again, and surprise, Michelle.
What?
You break the scanner because you have so much imagination.
Good thing I went on this ride.
Yeah, because you were a stupid idiot before, and now you're a genius.
Hooray!
Then at the very end, there's a very, very brief Figment cameo. He appears in a constellation because they're like, hey, we got rid of everything you liked, but we're going to just give you a little taste of Figment so you can know how much you're missing.
Terrible.
Surprise. I know this is very surprising as well. People didn't like the ride, Michelle.
What?
I know. People hated it, in fact.
What?
And this version of the ride closed October 8th, 2001, 2 years after opening. You know what ride beat that record? Superstar Limo.
Whoa!
So yeah, it takes a lot for... There's some very hated rides that Disney will leave open for a long time. 2 years. People hated this so much, Disney changed it after 2 years.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah, because it was not good.
Yeah.
It was just very cheap.
Some people might even call it bad.
Some people might call it bad, cheap, not Disney. Like, you can do better, Disney.
Yeah.
You set the levels, especially because they had... If they... didn't have that such a great ride before, I don't think it would have been quite as disappointing. But I guess there was nothing before Superstar Limo, and people were disappointed about that. Yeah,
I think, you know, junk is junk.
Yeah, junk is junk. But it just wasn't even eccentric junk. It was just bad.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I have to say about Journey into Your Imagination. So then they decided to change it. It didn't change that much, but it changed enough. In the third and current version, which is Journey into Imagination with Figment, opened June 2nd, 2002. So that's not that long of a turnaround. That's a little over 6 months for them to redo that, because that's how little they changed.
And that's how little they cared.
Yes. Oh, Disney. the old version was so unpopular that Disney themselves paid to redo the ride.
Wow.
They were just like, sorry, Kodak, hold my beer, Kodak. Yeah. Only $8 million was spent on this update, which is very low. $8 million on a ride. Okay, so the Cars Land and the update to, what's it called? California Adventure? That was $1 point something billion. So imagine for, like, an average ride at Disneyland can cost, I think just the Cars ride alone was like $100 million or probably more than that. But
it's really good.
Yeah, quite a bit more than that, actually.
Have you been on it?
Yes, I have been on it. It's delightful.
Oh, do you keep your eyes open?
I do keep my eyes open. That doesn't have anything scary on that ride.
But it's fast? I don't know.
I like fast rides. Oh, I just don't like scary rides.
Got it.
I don't like ghosts jumping out at you and trying any funny business. but yeah, $8 million is like, it sounds like a lot of money, but for a ride, especially a Disney ride, like that's pittance.
Oh.
That's like probably what Jumping Jellyfish cost.
Real? Okay.
Yeah. Jumping Jellyfish might be more expensive than that, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Figment was added back, hooray,
yay!
Into the attraction more heavily, as was the song One Little Spark, but not in its original form. The tune was back and the lyrics were changed, and then in the finale they kind of added the song back. Figment was not great. There is one reference to Dreamfinder in this version. There's a door in the queue marked Dean Finder, which is just like...
Really?
Really? That's what you're going to give us? You can't just bring back Dreamfinder?
Right.
You're just like, oh, okay. So Eric Idle is back for this version. I bet a lot of that $8 million is paying him to come back.
Yeah.
Eric Idle is back in this version as his character Dr. Nigel Channing and takes you to different labs testing the different senses and how they affect your imagination. This is basically the old version of the ride, just slightly better. Yeah.
Oh, the Your Imagination version. Yeah.
Not the original.
No.
No. That's long past. That's dead and gone because it's too sad to think about that one anymore.
Okay.
So Figment keeps ruining each experiment, but he really teaches you how to use your imagination. He's annoying, but he teaches you things.
Does he?
He went from a lovable character to annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were saying you don't like...
I used to not like him at all.
Yes.
So the first time I went on this ride, it was like 2005. Mm-hmm. So I saw this version and I was like, why is everyone crazy about this like weird...
annoying
dragon situation.
Spoiled brat dragon.
Yeah, I didn't like him at all. And then I watched the original and he was just like so cute and sweet. He's just a little baby.
He's a little baby puppy angel baby. And this one he's just like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
I'm annoying.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You go through a sound lab, a sight lab, and a smell lab where Figment blasts a skunk smell at you.
This is like my least favorite thing.
Yeah.
It literally stinky smells.
Yeah, and you said it doesn't smell like a skunk, it's just bad.
It just smells like bad.
And it's a fart joke. So like great. Disney in the early 2000s, fart jokes.
Yeah.
You're better than this.
I'm never a big fan of fart jokes.
This was kind of after Disney Daddy was just like,
I give up.
I'm gonna probably get kicked out soon. Just do what you guys want. What's gonna make the most money?
Whatevs, man.
People like fart jokes. the writer skips the taste and touch labs because of budget cuts. In the ride, they act like, oh, Figment's being so bad, we can't do these things. No, Nigel Channing. It's budget cuts. And I don't know what they would do for taste and touch.
Yeah, like, what on earth is taste?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, take a bite of this cake.
Yeah. Then that would be my favorite ride. And people are going to touch you.
And now the cake touches you.
Ooh, I like this. Just getting up personal with the cake.
Imagine if the cake, like, hit you in the face.
I mean, do I get to eat it, or is it like maybe okay? I could be cool with that.
Oh, I hope it's key lime pie.
I hope it's chocolate cake, and then I would eat it, and then I'd be sticky all day, and the flies and mosquitoes would get me.
Oh yeah,
but it'd be okay. I have chocolate cake.
What kind of cake did you have for your birthday?
Chocolate cake.
What kind?
Susie cakes.
Oh no! The way you described it.
I described it as the cake from Matilda.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like the cake of Matilda.
And Dale originally was like, "I don't want cake," and then he saw it and he was like, oh, "It is the cake from Matilda."
It was delicious, and now I want this cake again because I am so hungry.
I really just want anything.
This podcast is just going to be like people wanting food that we want to eat.
Yep.
So Figment turns, so all of a sudden, I don't know what this has to do with the ride, Figment's just like, I'm going to do more crazy things. Figment turns the, so it's an open house, he turns it upside down, and everything is on the ceiling. It's similar to the Gravity Lab, but it's just like, Figment did it this time. And they have added little cute Figments in, so it's a lot cuter than the Gravity Lab. Like, Figment's in the bathtub, he's sitting watching TV.
He squeezes a paint thing, and then you see a rainbow.
Yes, well, that's at the very end.
Oh, well, I just like rainbows.
Yeah,
Rainbow's Figment. Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah, he's just adorable. So then there you get to these not computer screens, like TV screens, and blah, 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 more talking. Then all of a sudden there's an explosion, and then the only really good part of the whole ride happens. You're in a colorful room where there's tons, probably like at least 10 singing animatronic Figments singing the original One Little Spark. He's happy again. He's playful again. He's squeezing the rainbow paint.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
He's climbing a mountain. There's a lot of homages to the original. It's delightful. If they made the whole ride like that, it would be great.
Wouldn't that be cute if like the whole ride was just like, I'm Figment. I'm going to help you find your imagination.
Yes, with Dreamfinder. Oh, wait, that already happened.
Oh, wait, that was real. JK.
That would be, like, if they just had Precious Figment back and Dreamfinder, and they don't even have to do the same ride again. They could just do, like, an updated version, but with those same characters and One Little Spark. So in 2010, Kodak ended their sponsorship, so now the ride...
Yeah, because they probably went out of business.
Yeah, they did, and the ride is now sponsorless. And that is Journey into Imagination, a.k.a. Journey into Your Imagination, a.k.a. Journey into Imagination with Figment. So, final thoughts.
1995 was the sweet spot of Epcot. Yeah,
basically, if you could go to Epcot in 1995, that's when everything was awesome. Yeah, just the original Journey into Imagination. I don't think there's a single person that's like, actually, I think the current version's the best.
Not even the hippest hipster.
No, everyone's like, no, that's the best one. And I'm not normally like, everything was better back in the day, but in this case...
And Epcot's case was
kind of 1995 Epcot, you had World of Motion, you had Horizons. I think you had World of Motion in 1995. That might have closed before then, but let's pretend that's there. Yep. Horizons. You had
Cranium Command.
Cranium Command, Universe of Energy. You had, which I think was pre-Ellen or with Ellen?
Pre-Ellen.
Pre-Ellen. You had Journey into Imagination. You had Spaceship Earth in its best form.
You had the Old Seas.
Yes, you had the Old Seas.
With the hydro lift.
Yeah, with sans Nemo. It was just like a huge half a million gallon tank.
Did you know that most people think Spaceship Earth is the biggest attraction at Epcot? It is not. It's the second biggest. The biggest is the tank at Living Seas.
Yes,
the whole ball could fit in there.
Is the tank still there?
Yeah.
Do they still have fish in there?
Yeah.
Oh, because I thought they turned it into the Nemo ride.
No, they did.
Oh, okay.
So yes to both.
Okay.
So
where the fish are like the side piece of the Nemo ride?
Kind of. It's kind of neat. Like they do projection into the tank. Oh. So the real fish are swimming with the animated fish.
Do you think the fish are like, what's this?
I don't think we're fish. I think it's Pepper's Ghost.
Yeah. God made us. And this is like, what is this BS you're looking at right here?
I think it's Pepper's Ghost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Pepper's Ghost, but it's, like, slightly different because it's digital. It's not, like, an actual mannequin.
Right, but it's, like, they're projecting it.
It's Pepper's Ghost, like, on the ride you worked on a disaster. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, that new Pepper.
Yeah.
It's new style Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
yeah, so basically the theme of this podcast is get a time machine, go back to Epcot in 1995.
Mm-hmm. Get yourself something to eat.
Yes. Also, please get yourself something to eat. Maybe something healthy so you're not craving cake and boba and somi and everything else we talked about.
Delicious.
Oh, so good.
I would also be happy with Mongolian barbecue.
Oh, we need to go back to Mongolian barbecue.
It's so good.
It is so good. Speaking of so good, I think our podcast is so good.
So do I.
Yay. So Michelle, where can they find out more information about our podcast?
Say they were on Instagram.
Yes.
They could go to 1313 Harbor the podcast.
Oh, they could?
Yep. And if they were on Twitter, they could go to 1313 Harbor.
And if they're on the web, they could go to 1313harborthepodcast.com. But what happens if they type in www?
Their computer or phone turns to lava.
It turns to lava. So yeah, no www. You can listen to old episodes. You can go to our Patreon. Thank you to all our patrons. Listen to bonus episodes. Great. So many ways to find out about us.
Oh, you can watch our...
yes.
There was a video companion to last week's episode. You can watch that on our Instagram TV.
Yeah. So on our 1313 Harbor the Podcast Instagram, we have 3 Instagram TV episodes. I have footage for one more. We need to make more with the two of us because people obviously like the two of us together as opposed to me by myself.
I mean, I like you.
I like you too. But aww. I want to be them. So we,
that's
so our,
nice.
Oh, it's not nice. It's true. I like you.
I like you.
So our last week's episode was about our favorite details in Disney. So we made a video showing the details. So yeah, go on, watch it. Jenny Ray makes them. She wants to make more.
Great.
So to all who come to this happy podcast,
welcome. A dream can be a dream come true with just that spark in me and you.